It doesn't work that way. That's God right. says, okay, you want me to break my word just for you? You want a shortcut here. There's no shortcut. You have to work if you're going to expect a payoff. And, you know, our flesh doesn't like that.
Yes.
Our flesh wants to scream and rebel and holler and, you know, jump around and run away and do anything but what it's supposed to be doing. And, you know, a lot of times I have to discipline my flesh because it doesn't want to do what needs to be done to get the job done. I was thinking about this morning after being awakened in the middle of the night. I woke up again at 4. I wanted to sleep for another hour or 2 hours. I finally realized God wants me to get up here and to start being productive earlier than usual. And I had the energy. I found out I'm not tired. I found out I had the energy to do that. You know, sometimes God wants us to break the mold and do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get in the mold and stay there.
Yes. Have you noticed the similarities between Hebrews 10:35-39 and Habakkuk 2:1-4?
You know,
I've
studied Hebrews 10, but I never made that connection until you mentioned it to me earlier today.
Well, in fact, in Hebrews 10:38, it says, "My righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." And Habakkuk 2:4 says, "For the righteous shall live by his faith." So Paul just took this just a little bit farther, anointed of God, totally anointed of God, and he added to what Habakkuk had begun in Habakkuk 2:1-4. But here it says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God," not what you wanted, not what men around you wanted, but what God wanted in your life, "so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while," and there it says in Habakkuk, "it hastens toward a goal, it will not fail, it will certainly come, it will not delay." And verse 37 in Hebrews 10 says, "For yet in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." Praise the Lord. That's Jesus. And he is coming to give you your reward. Praise the Lord.
You know, again, I have to go back to Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. It says, "But the righteous will live by his faith."
Yes.
And what we're saying to you, faith is costly. I mean, you have to pay the price to get the faith. In Hebrews, or rather Mark 11:22, it says, "Have the faith of God." Mm-hmm. Now, that suggestion also to me is a command. We have to have the faith of God. And when I read in my Bible notes here, it says, "Martin Luther's interpretation of this verse about faith totally reoriented his thinking and contributed to the beginning of the Protestant Reformation."
Yes.
In other words, you get there by faith, not by works.
That's right, or not by depending on somebody else. You get that yourself. The righteous shall live by his faith. Like I said just a little while ago, not his mom's faith or his dad's faith or his pastor's faith, his faith. How do you see God? How do you talk with God? How do you pray? How do you read his word? How do you understand God and what he's doing in your life? It has to become this whole Bible, Darren, is a very personal thing. You even receive different things than I receive from reading of the same verses in this Bible.
Well, I don't know if you remember the man that came in. It was a rather large fellow. He came in, and he was working with the company that sold us our printer. And he said a couple of things, and so I said, okay, I'm going to witness to this guy. He ended up leading him to the Lord, and I said, well, let's pray. And so he got down on his knees and put his hands together. I said, no, we don't do that here. You can stand up and pray. And I led him to the Lord, and he said, okay, give me the 10 things I need to do. He was raised in a church of works.
Yes.
I said, and he still wasn't born again. Spent a lot of time in church. I said, that's not it, man. It's relationship. It's not rules and do these 10 things and you're going to get there. It would maybe be easier that way, but you know, the walk of faith, and if you read Hebrews 11, it talks about the walk of faith and how many... That's probably the list of the Super Bowl of the people that really made it in faith. I want to be there. I want to be a man of faith to believe God when I can't see him working and I can't see him personally and all this kind of stuff. I just want to believe his word. And that's faith.
That's right. And it goes on in Hebrews 11, Darren, in the sixth verse, it says, "It is without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who is searching for that faith must believe that God is, that he is the I am that I am, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Not the lazy ones, not the procrastinators, but the ones who diligently seek God are going to get their reward. And so back here in Hebrews 10, we see in the 38th verse, my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We've talked about shrinking back, but in the 39th verse, it says, those who shrink back will go to destruction. Wow, that is something that we really need to seriously look at. If we shrink back or become timid in the assignment God's given to us, destruction is ahead.
Okay, now let me say it in ordinary language. If you chicken out or wimp out, you're going to be destroyed. And folks, I have seen that on the bed of affliction, where people just say, well, it's just too hard, dear. And why did God make it so hard? And I've watched people like that die because they didn't step into the faith walk and believe that God already paid the price. It wasn't a matter of them working their salvation out or working out their healing or working out their prosperity. I've seen people do the same thing, wimp out, chicken out, back up, become fragile and just say, it's just too hard, Darren. I know maybe it works for you, but it's not working for me. And I'm just not going to do this anymore.
Well, you know of one man who only owed $5,000 and he bankrupted. He filed for bankruptcy.
And he suffered.
$5,000, and he suffered for his credit and for the next 7 years of his life.
But you know what that did to him emotionally and spiritually?
Oh, it made him a wimp.
It wasn't.
I'm sorry.
Well, he was a wimp before that. No, but you know something? He wouldn't have had to do that.
Oh, no.
If his wife would have supported him.
No.
But I really believe he was standing all alone, and he didn't have the fortitude. This man graduated from a spiritual institution of higher learning. I mean, he should have had the scriptures. I mean,
well, that's questionable though too, because I graduated from a church school also. But we learned more about the secular philosophers and secular teachers than we did.
But this guy graduated from a cemetery. I mean, a seminary.
Oh, how are we going to end this now?
Should have known better. Well,
maybe
I'm just saying. There is no payoff except loss by a consent of ignorance.
Yes, that's true.
You have to pay the price. Get in the Bible and find out what it says.
Well, in life, like we said, it has an expiration date, friend. So do all that you can do, you know, that your hand finds to do. Do it with all your might, as it says in Ecclesiastes. We really desire for you to have the very best in life that you can have.
I'd like to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we put this procrastination spirit, it's a spirit that comes along to destroy us. Father God, it comes along to sap our vision. It comes along, Lord God, to void our meditation, because when we procrastinate, we bring frustration and distraction into our life and disorganization. Father God, we no longer want to delay. We want to get up today and draw a line and say, things are going to be different here, and I'm going to pay the price, and I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of being in a state of numbness. Father God, I don't want to be in a void. I want to be where you can bless me.
Yes.
So, Lord God, today I give you all my ways and habits of procrastination, and I'm asking you to change my heart. Give me a vision. Give me a new image of myself. And let me know who you really are, Father God, that you really expect me to plant seed and harvest seed. You expect me to have a harvest and learn your ways. You say that you're going to teach me to profit. I want to learn to do that. And Lord God, today I'm asking that those that have procrastinated in health issues, that they would get in the Word and find out what you say about healing. Those that have procrastinated in the financial areas will get in the Bible and find out how you so much want to bless us. And Father God, they've been missing it. And I thank you, Father God, today for forgiving us, cleansing us, and changing us so we can turn around and have a new sense of direction. And with victory in our mind and victory in our visions, Lord, we'll have a dream to win and to not lose any longer. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for being faithful to your word. Amen.